Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. If you're joining us on YouTube this morning, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you're joining us on Facebook, that link can be found in the comments. No matter how you're joining us, we would love to know that you've worshiped with us this morning. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submissions. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us this morning. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Christ is Risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love.
For in you I trust.
Make me know the way I should go.
For to you I lift up my soul.
Teach me to do your will.
For you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me.
On level ground.
Creator Spirit.
We confess our alienation from you both by nature and by choice. We have not allowed your love to have free rein in us, and so our love for you, for ourselves, and for other people keeps on faltering. Dishonesty and image protection often characterize our way of being, and we forget who we are and where we belong. Kindle within us the fire of your love. Blow over us with your wind of transformation. Heal us with forgiveness for Jesus' sake.
Come, Holy Spirit, breathe over and ignite the love of God both within and among us. Our dear Holy Trinity in mercy has given the Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained servant of Jesus and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, who graciously frustrates the plans of our sinful nature,
have mercy on us.
O Christ, who promised the Holy Spirit to be our convicting and comforting counselor,
have mercy on us.
O Lord, who on Pentecost breathed the Holy Spirit upon your gathered people,
have mercy on us and grant us your peace. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes to us from Numbers chapter 11. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson today is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonder of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above the signs of the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we conclude our sermon series, Caught in the Acts, as we look at the work of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And what I'd like to do today is share with you a concept of the internal working of the Holy Spirit within each believer, and also the eternal working of the Holy Spirit with each believer as well. A fellow pastor a number of weeks ago preached a sermon on these four passages, and what he shared was that these are the only four Bible passages that say the Spirit of Truth. And so from the Spirit of Truth, I'd like to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost and beyond. So this morning, let's look at the first text. It comes from John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. The Holy Spirit is the absolute truth, and He lives in us. So the first topic, if you will, as the internal working of the Holy Spirit, is that He lives in each and every one of us. And our text reads, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." So when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit internally, first of all, He lives within each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of the law, that we are all sinners, and convicts us also is that you and I cannot stand before the living God. None of us can stand before Him without Jesus as our advocate. When Adam and Eve sinned, God said that they would die when they ate the forbidden fruit, but they didn't physically die, but spiritually they did. And the reason we know that is because they hid from God. God was their enemy, and they were filled with fear of what God might do to them because they were convicted of their sin. St. Paul writes about this condition of all humanity being spiritually dead in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts." The craving of our flesh, the desires, the actions, the thoughts are against God and His holiness. At Pentecost, Peter preaches to people living with the guilt of sin. You see, they killed God's one and only Son. And if you heard that message that day, you would think, "I'm in trouble. God wants to kill me because I killed His Son." But after Peter preaches this message, they recognize the depth of their depravity, and they recognize that they need someone who can be their advocate for them to the living God. And so as a result, the Holy Spirit is working through the power of God's Word to convict these people and also us as well, that we are sinful human beings and that we cannot save ourselves. This is the internal working when they say, "What shall we do to be saved?" This is the Holy Spirit working internally in each and every one of us, convicting us of our sin. So this question begs an answer. What must we do to be saved? Well, St. Paul talks about being dead spiritually to being made alive spiritually. Also in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it reads, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. We are now spiritually alive to God because of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within each and every one of us. So this question, what must we do to be saved, is answered in our next text. And this comes from John chapter 15, verse 26. The Holy Spirit testifies the truth about Jesus. And it reads, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." So the second internal act of the Holy Spirit within a believer is he testifies about Jesus Christ to each and every one of us. He testifies to all who hear the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit is given as the power of God comes to each and every one of us through the working of his Word and sacraments. And the Holy Spirit testifies to the absolute truth that Jesus is the only perfect sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. As Peter says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." God promised a Savior to Adam and Eve. And God began the process of fulfilling his promise by the call of Abraham to send the Savior through a nation called the Jews. God promised to send a Savior through a certain family, and that was the family of David. And God fulfilled his promise by selecting Mary to carry the Christ child. As the Holy Spirit came upon her and impregnated her with the second person of the Trinity who took on human flesh, who was born under the law to fulfill the law for each and every one of us. Jesus grows into adulthood, takes on the role of ministry. And as Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, as foretold through the sacrificial system, Jesus is not only willingly sacrificing his life, but he's sacrificing himself for all, for the sins of the entire world, so that you and I may have peace with God. No longer do we need to fear God when God is with us, because we have the Advocate, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior who has created peace with God. Jesus lives a sinless life, and Jesus fulfills the law, and by his death he pays the price once and for all. It is the Holy Spirit who testifies to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He testifies that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. And the testimony of the Holy Spirit is the absolute truth, not the relative truth that our world lives in today. See, God does not dwell in the land of fiction, half-truths, or fake news. God dwells with absolute truth. He is the truth. There is no darkness. There is no fake reality. There are no half-truths. There is only one way that we can be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So the work of the Holy Spirit, secondly, is to testify to Jesus. Thirdly, the work of the Holy Spirit is to guide each and every believer. So from John 16, verse 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So the Holy Spirit not only testifies to the truth, not only lives within us, but he also guides us daily in the truth. Jesus said this about himself, "I am the way, the truth." Jesus is the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this guidance comes through the Word of God that a disciple hears, that a disciple reads, that a disciple invests in prayer as well. And prayer is also a form of listening, not just talking to God, but be opening to the Holy Spirit, talking to each and every one of us of how the Word moves us. It says in Romans chapter 8, 26, when you and I struggle with words in prayer, is that the Holy Spirit connects to our spirit with groans that words cannot identify and brings him to the very throne of God's grace as his internal working within us. And the Holy Spirit guides us away from sin and darkness, the dangers of our flesh. The Holy Spirit guides us to know God's will in our lives. And the Holy Spirit guides us to share the hope of Jesus Christ in our lives as well. You see, we are bearers of the absolute truth that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit guides us in our lives to the will of God, to testify that Jesus is Lord and Savior of all. You may ask, what is the will of God? The will of God is this, to share the love and the story of Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit guides us to do through thought, word, and deed. The Holy Spirit guides us in absolute truth, to speak the absolute truth, to share the absolute truth, that Jesus is the truth, the way of life. A fellow pastor shared with me this story just last week, is that he was going through the membership and he was praying over the names of the membership, and he went through A, he went through B, and he saw this one lady who had moved her membership to Corpus Christi, Texas. And he thought, well, I hope she's doing well. And then he finally got back to up to C's and D's, and the Holy Spirit told him is go back to the B's. And he's wondering, well, all these people are really doing well in the B's. And then he recognized that this person who lived in Corpus Christi, maybe she needed something. So he called her. And later on in her Facebook, she said, Pastor, and his name, last name is Rabel, called me today, and I was a mess. I broke down because I recently lost two family members in death, and I am struggling, and I prayed, God, help me. And 5 minutes later, Pastor Rabel called. He was an answer to prayer through the working of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this has happened in your life where somehow you had this internal calling, message, whatever you want to call it, is go and talk with that person. Hey, you need to just be there. Like Philip on the road when this person was driving back to Egypt. He was told to just walk beside the chariot and the right opportune time to answer the question from Isaiah. So not only do we know the will of God, but we also have a personal relationship with Jesus as well as a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit as we read our last text from 1 John 4, verse 6. The Holy Spirit helps us to know God in an absolute truth. And 1 John 4, 6 reads, "We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. a personal relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our eternal relationship with God, the eternal seal of God's justice on each and every one of us who have been called to be believers. So knowing God is listening to His Word and living out His Word. Knowing God is the beginning of a relationship that God says, I am very, very, very important in your life. And knowing God is sharing God's love with one another and sharing the message of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, we read, But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives within you. So the Holy Spirit gives us eternal life as well as He lives within us. Your eternal destiny is known because you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Your eternal destiny is to live with Jesus in heaven forever. Your eternal destiny has been won by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Your eternal destiny is sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within our very beings. Your eternal life gives you comfort because the Holy Spirit brings us comfort in a time of adversity. And we have to recognize that adversity comes your way. So when you plan out your day, you're wondering, well, how well will it go? And you have to recognize that no matter how well you plan, something will happen. So you have to say, is this a problem or is this an opportunity? So if you're planning for problems, it's an opportunity to move forward despite the issue. So the Holy Spirit speaks to you from what is to come and is to have life with God forever. So Pentecost, this day, is the Spirit of truth living within us, the Spirit of truth that testifies that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, the Holy Spirit that guides us in our lives to love and to share the message of Jesus. And the eternal part of that is our personal relationship with God for eternity. So I pray on this Pentecost that God's Spirit, God's Word will move you to be a more ardent follower of Him. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Prayers of the church today. We pray for our community, our country, and our world as this COVID-19 virus still affects us. Heavenly Father, we pray, is give us wisdom, give us comfort, give us courage, give us your Holy Spirit so that we will be able to speak your word to the world, to our community, to our country, that you are in control no matter what. And as we face this time of uncertainty, we pray, Lord, continue to come among us, strengthen us, help us, Lord, in our plight. Bless us this day as your followers to be truth speakers, the absolute truth that Jesus is Lord and Savior. We pray this day, Lord, is watch over our community, our country, our world, and bring us peace and calm. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Most precious Heavenly Father, we pray for our first responders. Continue to watch over them and bless them. And Heavenly Father, as we look at social distancing in our country today, help us, Lord, to be wise and smart and how we interact with one another. And we pray, Lord, is that this disease will go away. We pray, Lord, is bless our leaders in our country and in our state and our local people as well, is give them your wisdom from above. Help them, Lord, to see who they are and how we all work together to love you and to love one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us all. We pray, Lord, is that the Holy Spirit will direct us in how we should live and give us the comfort and the peace of knowing that we live with you for eternity. Lord, open up avenues where we can be used to share your love, to share your word, to share your hope. We pray, Lord, is that your kingdom will continue to come among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up Larry Lucas today as he continues to his healing process from heart surgery. And we pray, Lord, as be with Carolyn as well. Bless them and nurture them and give them your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for all the blessings that we have as we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious upon you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen.